He's done. Amen. If we were to talk right now, we could finish. We could take time through service until tonight and just praise the Lord for everything He's done. He's been so good. Amen. Grab your Bibles with me. Turn to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. We'll launch out from there today. The title of the message today is something we don't deserve. Amen. But the title is God is Pursuing. We talked about everything just in that song, everything God's done and how we thanked Him. Man, I even sitting here thinking about it, hearing the peaches sing, you know, here am I, Lord, begin to think about that. Man, what a privilege it is to be used of God. What a privilege that the God of the universe would care about little old me and just decide to use my life. And I'm nothing, but God is something, and I'm so thankful for everything He's done and how good He is to us. God is pursuing. Luke 15, and look me down in verse number 8. We'll just launch out from here. I'll give you some introduction, and we'll get right into the message today. I want to, again, thank you for being here at Landmark Baptist Church. Our pastor will be back next week, so make sure if you're visiting to come back next week and get the good stuff. We're looking forward to it as well. Amen. So, and again, I'm not going to make a joke about what God is. Praise the Lord that God uses me and God gives grace. Amen. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 8, it says, "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she has found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece of silver which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank for opportunity it is to be used of you. Lord, I thank for opportunity it is to stand behind this pulpit. Lord, but I pray you just hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray that I would just get up, Lord, and you would just speak through me. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, God, the most important thing that goes on at this place, Lord, is the sharing of the gospel. Lord, I pray they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray it's just believers, Lord, you just draw us close to you. Lord, I pray that everything that gets said and done in this service, Lord, will bring honor and glory to you, Lord. I ask it in your name. Amen. If we're to look at the definition of pursuing or of chasing, and we were to talk about that, I wrote down, it says, hasting after to overtake, to proceeding and continuing is chasing. If you would ask me what the definition of pursuing is, I would say to seek, to go after. And I just want to look at a few passages of scripture where we can see that God is chasing after the believer. But I want to, you know, just get on your level and something that you can relate to see where I'm coming from this. And this week was Thanksgiving and we had a great Thanksgiving. But what do I mean by God is pursuing? Well, you see, there's something that God wants and God is going to go out of His way. And it's never really out of God's way, but God is going to do anything He can to get to this thing that He wants. And we're going to get to that point in the message. But if you were to relate to that, think of a little kid. If any of you have kids or if any of you were kids, and I think we all were, at some time, can you imagine being in the front yard and being playing and just throwing a ball or throwing something at your sister and just having a good time in the front yard and you hear that iconic music? You know what music I'm talking about? The ice cream truck. Man, and you hear it. And you always hear it before you see it. Okay, I remember being a kid and hearing the ice cream truck music and going, where's the ice cream truck? I can't find it. I hear the music. I almost begin to think that my sibling had that like on a speaker and they would just play it, so I went to go see it. Okay. But can you imagine that feeling as a kid when you hear the ice cream truck? And to be honest, maybe even as an adult, when you hear it and you say, you know, I just want the ice cream truck. You say, Brother Tyler, they don't do ice cream trucks anymore. Okay. If you see a food commercial and you see a good steak and you really want a steak, you're going to go get one. Okay. As we begin to think about that, it's something that you want. This week, we had the privilege of taking a few days off and going out on Thanksgiving and being able to be with my wife's family. Well, we went and did what many of you men enjoy doing. We went fishing. Okay. And we, praise the Lord, I won't tell you a fish story, and I won't say it's this big, or I won't say it's this big, okay? I am really good at catching a certain type of fish, okay? And it's rockfish, but not the rockfish. It's like, literally, I'm really good at catching rocks, okay? I mean, line, everything, I mean, all the time. Richard's not in here, he'd be saying amen really loud. Like, I popped it all the time, okay? I mean, we went out the coast, out on the Gulf there, and we were out there, man, and we could be in the middle of the water and anchor down in the boat and just casting. And you know what I did? I would find a rock. And they'd go, how in the world did you even find a rock? It's deep here. I don't know how I did it. But when we went out and we were out there, we left the house at 4 o'clock in the morning. And it was cold on Friday. I mean, it was about 30 degrees where we're at and the wind was blowing. And we got out on the boat, and I had 3 layers of pants on, and I had 2 jackets on, and I had something over my face, and we got out there, and man, it was cold. And I looked around at my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, and I said, why are we out here? It's cold. Why do we need fish this bad? And Travis said, because if we get the fish, we get to go eat the fish, and we need the fish to eat the fish. Well, I don't like fish as much as them, and I wasn't convinced. Okay. Well, we went out, and we took the boat out, and we were on the pontoon, and we fished over here, and we fished over there, and we fished over there, and we didn't find no fish. Okay. So then we got to this place, and Travis said, oh, I know a spot. And I began to laugh and begin to think, what do you mean you know a spot? He goes, I know a spot. It might be a little bit of work, but I know a spot. And I'm like, it's not work for me. I'm not driving the boat. I'm going to sit here, and you're going to bring me to the fish. So we went out, and he parked the boat on this buoy thing, and it was shore on the shore, and I began to think, what are we doing? This guy really wants some fish. And to make a long story short, here's what happened. He knew that the tide had went out, and that back in the marsh where we were and somewhere we were legal, we were supposed to be there, okay? At least that's what he told me, so if I didn't know if we weren't, okay? So he said, we just have to walk over there, just a little ways. Well, this little ways was 3/4 of a mile, okay? And it was where the water was, okay? When we walked back, there was water there in the morning, and there wasn't water, okay? So we walked through the mud in the marsh. There was a time I lost my shoes, and we were stepping on the little shell thing. So he told me, oh, well, you can't do that. Just go through the water, which was cold, okay? I mean, like, the mud came up to here. And you say, what does this have to do with the message? I have no clue. I just want to tell this story, okay? All right, so this is what you do, okay? So I got walking through the mud, and I was like, are we almost there? He goes, yeah, it's just around that bend. And I was like, that bend? He goes, no, that bend way over there. And what are we doing for fish? So we walked about 3/4 of a mile, and Dad didn't go with us because we weren't sure if there was going to be fish there. Well, then we got there, almost there, and I said, Travis, I ain't going no farther. This is too far. So he walked a little bit farther. I walked back to the boat, and I tell Dad. We get about there, and he calls, and he said, listen, I have caught 4 redfish, and every one of them are keepers. You guys have got to come. I mean, this guy's excited for the fish. Well, then we walked over there, and you know what we did? And it took a little bit to walk over there. We're walking through the mud and carrying everything on there. We threw a line in the water, and wham, redfish. Threw a line in the water, wham, redfish. I threw a line in the water, wham, a rock, okay? They threw a line in the water, redfish. I threw a line, rock, okay? One time I thought I had the rock because the rock came loose, and I brought the rock all the way to shore, and I went, oh, I'm glad they didn't see that, okay? But we laughed about that, and we did all this work, and then we caught all the fish, and really, and I'm not boasting on this, I didn't find the fish. We caught about 20 redfish, and listen, I know that you can only keep 3. So we kept throwing them back, but it got to the point that if they were over 20 inches, we were measuring them to see if they were bigger than the keepers we already had. Okay, there was a 26-inch redfish. And then we started getting on sheephead, which I, for some reason, call clownfish for some reason, although that's not what they're called. And we laughed about that. But can I tell you, you can say, what does this have to do with the story? You know what that guy was after? You know what we were after, and more them than me? They really wanted to find fish. So much that although they took the boat out and although they had a plan, we got off the boat and we marched through the mud and the swamp to get to where the fish was because our desire was to get some fish. Our desire was to get some fish, and there's a place down there that if you cut and you clean the fish, you can bring the fish in there and they'll cook it for you and bring it out. And it's relatively cheap and we have a good time with that. Man, our desire was to get the fish, but can I tell you, that morning we set out with a desire to get fish, but there were some things I wasn't willing to do to get that fish. There were some things I really didn't want to do. That fish wasn't worth that much to me. But can I tell you, there was a day that God looked at you when he created you and said, there ain't nothing I'm not willing to do to get you. There's nothing I'm not willing to give to pursue you, to get your attention, to draw you unto me. He looked at us and he said, you know, I want you so bad and I love you so much and I want a relationship with you so bad that I'll give my only begotten son to have that relationship with you. Can I tell you, we can laugh about how much you can pursue the last deviled egg on Thanksgiving and how you're willing to get in a fist fight at Black Friday for a good deal. And we really want to pursue and we really want to do those things. But can I tell you, it does not measure up to how much God desires and pursues us. Can I show you a passage of scripture? Look with me over in John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15, and we'll get through this introduction quickly. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 21 talks about where our heart is, there where our treasure will be also. As we begin to talk about things that we invest, if I was to ask you, man, I made an illustration about fishing. There's some things that you'd invest to get some fish. You'd buy a nice pole. There's some things you'd invest to have the nicest car, to a desire that you have. I've talked to Brother Seawright about racing, and there's some time he puts in, and Miss Seawright would agree that he puts in to have a good car, to have a good go-kart, to go out and just have a good time with that. Can I tell you, there are some things that God right here in this passage of Scripture, he puts in. In John chapter 15 and verse number 13, it says, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you know what we see right there in verse number 13? When God is pursuing us right here, we say, see God's investment. It says, greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. You say, Brother Tyler, this isn't talking about Jesus Christ, but we know the picture that's here. We see God's investment that he made to pursue us because he loved us. He gave his only begotten son. In verse number 14, it says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Not only did God make an investment because he wants us to draw unto him. God shows us in verse number 14 on his desire. It says, ye are my friends. In my Bible, this is in red letters. You know who this is talking here? Lord, ye are my friends. We see God's investment in verse 13. In verse 14, we see God's desire for us to be friends with him, to have a relationship with him. In verse number 15, it says, henceforth I call ye not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So we see God's investment in verse 13, God's desire in verse 14. In verse number 16, we see God's perseverance. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. The Bible says in verse 16, right in the beginning, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. It's really easy to be friends when you both get along, when you both desire to do it. But can I tell you how much God pursued me and God pursued you and is still pursuing? That there was a time that we were contrary to God. There was a time that we lived in sin and we lived in disbelief. And the Bible says, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. We see God's perseverance here. Right here we see God's investment, God's desire, and God's perseverance. Man, God is pursuing. Christian, can I tell you today, if you're saved in this room, God is pursuing a relationship with you. God is pursuing a work with you. If you're in this room today and you're visiting or you're not visiting and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, can I tell you some good news? There's a God in heaven that created everything in the universe, and he's pursuing you. He has a desire to be a part of your life. He has a desire to have a relationship with you. So I want to take time this morning, and I'll watch the clock, and I might be brief, we might not be, but I want to give you 4 points on how God is pursuing us. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, and look with me down in verse number 21. Second Corinthians, chapter number 5, and verse number 21, and one of the sweetest verses in the Bible right here. It says in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and verse number 21, it says, for he hath made him, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made in the righteousness of God in him. Do you know what God did? God pursued us so much that he gave his only begotten son. Hey, church, can I tell you, if you're saved or if you're not saved today, God is pursuing you because you're important to him, because he loves you. Can I tell you, we live in a world nowadays that young people grow up and old people just the same, and they say, what is the point of this world? What is the point of living? What is the point of dealing with the war and the drama and everything that goes on and politics? What is the point? Christian, can I tell you, there is a point, if you're a Christian or if you're not saved, that God loves you so much that he's pursuing you. Hey, can I tell you, Christian, you matter. Hey, unsaved person, maybe you're not a Christian, you matter. Can I tell you, you matter so much that the Master created you for a purpose. God designed you to do something for him. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5, it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee, and I have adorned thee a prophet unto the nation. It says in the beginning, it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God, you are so important to God. Before you breathe your first breath out of the womb, before you were formed, it says before you were formed in the belly, not after you were formed. Okay? Listen, I'm just telling you, this verse right here disproves abortion. Okay? It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God loves you so much, and you're so important to God. Before you got out of your mother's womb, God knew you and had a plan for you and had a goal for your life and had a purpose. Can I tell you how important you are to God? You're so important to God that although sometimes we live a life that's contrary to God, God has made a way for you to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that he can forgive your sins and that you can be born again. That is how important you are to God. Can I tell you, we're unworthy of that. I'm unworthy that someone would have come by my house with a bus and picked me up and take me to church, and I would have been bad. Man, I was rough as a kid. You know what I did on the church bus? I wanted to have fun. I'd crawl under the seats and I would grab people's ankles because it would scare them. And we would laugh and have a good time, and I was unworthy of that lady. Man, Miss Judy had so much patience to pick me up for church all the time. Man, but can I tell you, you know why she did that? Because God loved me enough that God put a burden on that lady's heart to go by and pick up that snot-nosed, knuckle-headed, stubborn young man and bring him to church. But can I tell you, God loves you so much that he did that for you too. That he sent someone in your life to bring you to church. Sent a mom and dad maybe, or sent a cousin or an uncle or a grandparent or a bus captain or a bus route or a pastor to go tell you of the good news of Jesus Christ. Hey, can I tell you, one of the reasons that God is pursuing us is because we matter to the Master. Because we matter to him. Can I be an encouragement with this first point today? You matter to the Master. Hard times you go through matter to the Master. The grief you go through matters to the Master. The disappointment, the things you can't give an answer to, the questions when you look around and you say, God, why is this going on? I believe every time that we cry, God feels that. That God is touched with the feelings of our infirmity. You matter to the Master so much that God pursued you. Turn with me over to the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Look with me over in verse number 10. And this is a very familiar passage of scripture as we look at this. It says, for we are his workmanship. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. You know why God pursues us? God is pursuing you to give you fulfillment. Can I tell you, one of the things the world says is, I don't feel purpose. I don't feel like I'm needed. I don't feel like it would make a difference. Can I tell you, one of the things they study in suicide notes, because suicide is rampant in our country, is that people say, I feel like it would be better if the world didn't have to put up with me because they don't have a purpose. Can I tell you, God loves you so much that God is pursuing you and God is after you to give you fulfillment. Can I tell you, as a man, I want to be fulfilled. When my wife walks up to me, and we don't eat pickles, but if we did, and she said, honey, I can't open this pickle jar, it's too tight, will you please use your big, strong muscles for me? And my wife doesn't say that because we don't eat pickles, but hopefully she would if we did, and I'm not going to look over there to see her facial expression. And she says, will you open this thing for me, and I can take my arms, and I'm praying the whole time, God, please let me open this pickle jar. That's what I would do if it happened, okay? And I get to open that pickle jar, you know what? I have fulfillment because I was needed for something. Because I was able to do something to help and it brought joy to someone else. Can I tell you, you are created, it says right here, with a purpose, that you're God's workmanship. It says we are his workmanship created in Jesus Christ unto good work. God did not create you to just sit in a church pew. God created you to do something. God created you with a purpose, with a plan, to fit a need, to fill a hole. God created you on purpose. God has designed and orchestrated your life to do something called the will of God. Can I tell you why Christians leave church sometimes and they feel like they're not getting anything out of church? It's because God created them to do something and they're doing nothing. Now, I'm talking to a working church, so I'm not trying to step on your toes. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to get after you. But can I tell you, if God saved you, and if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he created you with a purpose that you should purposefully fulfill, that you should do. Isaiah 43 and verse number 7 says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Do you know why sometimes why God pursues and God gets after us? We talked about pursuing, but we didn't really make that point. Pursuing sometimes is running someone down and it's chasing someone to get their attention to say, hey, I've got something for you. Man, if someone was going out the back door and they left their phone, we know how dependent we are on phones. Someone would run out the back door and they would say, hey, you need your phone. Hey, you forgot something in church. You need this. This is yours. I'm going to run you down and give this to you. God does that with us as Christians because we're important to him. Sometimes God runs us down and convicts us, gets after us sometimes because he created us with a purpose. Can I tell you what the world says? The world says you can do anything that you want. If you put your heart to it and you just think really hard, and if you just try really hard and you give everything that you can create, you can do anything. I'm here to tell you, if there ever comes a day that this guy right here decides that he's going to build an airplane, and I put my heart to it, and I try really hard, and I watch some YouTube videos, and I manage to create an airplane, you better not get on that plane. Because it ain't gonna fly. I don't care how much heart I put into it. I don't care how much determination I put into it. That is not what God created me to do. I can't do that. But God's created me to preach his word. God's created me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, there's some things that you can do that I can't do. I can sit here and I can say, I think I can, and I know I can, and I really want to. And I can want to do a front flip off this stage. But if we do, someone else is going to get up and finish preaching because I'm not getting up from it. That's not God's purpose for me. That's not what God created me to do. Christian, we can laugh about those things. And we can say, oh, I really want to do that, and I really want to do this. But when God created you, he's a master craftsman, and he's molded your life, and he created you a certain way with certain talents and certain goals and certain personality traits, and he created you to do something particular. Can I tell you why people are sad? why we live in a world nowadays that people are discontent. They don't know what they believe. Why mental health is a pandemic in our nation. Because people need Jesus. Because God created someone with a purpose to do something, and they don't want to do the purpose. They disregard the purpose that God has created for them to do, and they just want to do what they want to do. Can I tell you, God has created you with a purpose. Hey, Christian, you know why sometimes you feel uncomfortable sitting in church? You know sometimes why someone talks about the bus ministry and talks about the count and talks about needing bus drivers and Sunday school teachers, and you're sitting in your pew and you're saying, why do they keep asking about that? Man, I wish someone would just volunteer. I wish they'd stop asking about that. I feel uncomfortable every time they say that. Maybe that's because God's calling you to do that. Maybe that's because God's pursuing you in an area of service, something that you can do. And God's after you about it. Hey, Christian, can I ask you a question today? You're so important to God that He's willing to pursue you about things. Has God pursued you about doing something? About the purpose that He's given you to do? About whatever God has called you to do? It don't have to be serving. Maybe it's praying. Maybe it's doing something else. But God, you're so important that God, that if God has a purpose for you, He won't let you live without doing it. He'll get after you for it. And James, turn over to me with, this is a very familiar verse. I use it a lot at college. But James chapter number 4 and verse number 17. And you probably know this passage of scripture. In James chapter number 4 and verse number 17. The third reason I have on here that God is pursuing us as Christians and even as non-believers, that God is pursuing us because of our sin. In James chapter 4 and verse number 17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Hey, Christian, can I tell you what sin does in the life of a believer? It pushes you away from God. There's no room. God desires to have a relationship with you. We looked at God's purpose and we looked at God's desire and we looked at God's perseverance, that He wants to have a relationship with us. But do you know what sin does? We read there, it says, I have chosen you, but ye have not chosen me. You know why? Because of sin. Because sin gets between us and God. Hey, can I tell you, there's things that go on in our life that we get hurt. There's things that go on in our life that it goes on and we do something that we should not do. I do it, okay? I promise you, there is mistakes I make that I look back, I say, why did I do that? God, I'm sorry, and I've got to apologize to Him for it. But do you know what happens? There's sometimes I do something, and I'm so stubborn, I'm so hard-headed, that I know I shouldn't have done it. But you know what I did? I did it because I wanted to. I did it because I just felt like it. And I get selfish, and I get in my flesh. Do you know what happens after that? I start feeling down. Can I tell you, there's times that get so busy around here, and this is not what should happen, so do not quote me as this is what should happen. There's times that get so busy that sometimes I rush through my Bible reading in the morning. And can I tell you, those days are the hard days. Those are the days that I'm short with college kids. And they might deserve it. Okay? Dr. Morgan said amen. You just couldn't hear him. Okay? All right? There we go. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. But those days that there's a hard time going on, and I'm quick, and I don't do my devotions the way I should. I don't pray the way I should. I don't have that walk with God the way I should. You say, Brother Tyler, but you did. It wasn't a bad thing. The Bible says right there, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Do you know what sin does? It pushes me away from God. It gets me further from Him. Hey, Christian, can I tell you one of the reasons why God will pursue a Christian? Because of your sin. Let something go on in your life that you justify, that you say it's okay. God, I know I should give up these cigarettes. God, I know I should give up this tobacco. God, I know I shouldn't be listening to this type of music. God, I shouldn't be doing this because it doesn't glorify you, but I'm going to let it go on in my life, and I'm going to let it be okay. God will get after you for it. Ever get that feeling of just getting uncomfortable doing something you've always done? That's because God's chasing you, because God's pursuing you. Hey, Christian, can I just remind you today that God has a desire to have that relationship with us. God desires to be hand in hand with us and have that closeness to us. Can I tell you, if you get away from God and you know you're sinning, and I'm hitting this microphone, God will pursue you. You say, Brother Tyler, is that in the Bible? I don't know. Look at Jonah. God told Jonah to go over there. Jonah decided to go over there. And what did God do? God sent a whale. God pursued him, all right. God sent something in his life that Jonah looked at, and there was waves and there was a hard time going on, and other people were being affected by the hard time going on in Jonah's life. And Jonah had to get to the point that he looked at the hard time and said, you know what? Guy, stop. Throw me overboard. And they said, Jonah, why would we do that? Why would we throw you, a man, overboard in this storm? You're gonna die. Grab a bucket, shut up, and help us scoop the boat water. And Jonah said, no, there's sin. And not every hard time, not every storm comes because of sin. But there's sometimes, and Christian, if you're there, you know you are, that there's sin you've allowed in your life, and God is chastening you because of it. And God has sent a whale in your life because he's pursuing you, because he wants to bring you. Not that whale wasn't there to hurt Jonah. That whale could have ate Jonah. But God made the whale swallow Jonah, which probably, and I don't do marine biology, is probably a miracle in and of itself that Jonah survived. Okay, especially as long as he was in there, and then brought him back to the will of God. Hey, Christian, can I tell you why God pursues us sometimes? Because when we're over there not doing the will of God, God doesn't want to hurt us. God wants to take us like he did Jonah, put us in a whale metaphorically, and bring us back to where he wants us. Hey, Christian, is God pursuing you today? Can I tell you, you're so important to God that he wouldn't let it go on. But can I show you the last reason I believe God pursues us? Turn me over to 2 Peter chapter number 3. Second Peter chapter number 3. Look with me down in verse number 9. And you know this passage of scripture. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9. I believe God is pursuing us because of our great debt of sin. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards usward. Listen to this part. Not willing. This is talking about God here. It says the Lord in the beginning of verse number 9. And after this comment, it says not willing that any. Okay, it says not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you know why God chastens us? Because God knows that there's a great debt of sin that we have to pay. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3, it says, for the wages of sin is death. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The reason why God will chasten us, not necessarily as believers, but yes, as we become believers, but as unsaved people, the reason that God will pursue after us and God will chasten us is because God knows there's coming a day that debt's going to be called in. There's coming a day that all that sin and all that fun and all that fun and all that stuff I did, someone's going to have to pay for that sin. It says for the wages. The wage is something we earn because of something we do. For the wages of sin is death. I, one day as a young man, was so important to God that God pursued me and said, listen, I'm not willing that Tyler Revel should perish. I want him to come to repentance. I want him to come to Jesus Christ. It says he's long-suffering. Can I tell you, God is not willing that anyone in this room, anyone outside of this room, anyone in the city, anyone in our state, in our world, to perish and pay for this sin. Can I tell you, God is pursuing because of a great debt of sin. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter if you're a teenager in here today. Doesn't matter if you're a young person here today. Doesn't matter if you've lived life longer than me and you might be on the backside of what life might be for you. There is coming a day for every one of us, and we don't know when it is. Then that debt, the wage of our sin, is going to be called, and we're going to get a bill that's going to say, due immediately. Due now. And do you know why God is pursuing? Because He doesn't want us to have to pay for that sin. Because it says the wages of sin is death. Do you know what this death means? It means paying for that sin. And we can't pay for it here. We pay for that by living in eternity in hell. And God loves us so much that He says, listen, hell is a real place. Hell has fire, and I don't want you to go there. The Bible says, it says, after this comment, it says, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It says, for the wages of sin is death. But, praise the Lord for buts in the Bible, amen? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is pursuing after you to say there's a debt you've got to pay for that sin. I have already paid it. And all you have to do is take this gift. Man, if I was to pull out money and send someone to the store to go get something that they needed, and they left without taking that money, they're not walking out of that store without things, are they? Because they ain't got the money to pay for it. And Jesus is saying, man, you've got a debt, you've got a bill that's coming due, and you don't know when it's due. Here is the payment right here. All you have to do is take it. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Romans 10 and verse number 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you know why God is pursuing non-believers? And maybe in this room why God is pursuing you? Because there's a great debt that's going to come due, and He wants to pay it. You say, Brother Tyler, you talk about having Jesus in your heart, and you talk about this, and we use all these contents, and we use this. Can I just boil it down for you? You owe something because of the way you lived. Even if you're a good person, if you sin once, you got to pay for that sin. And it says the wages of sin, not wages of sins, okay, but the wages of sin is death. And God loves you, and He's so important, and you're so important to Him that He said, I'm not willing that you should have to pay for that sin. I paid for that sin, and all you have to do is accept the free gift. Can I ask you a question today? Maybe you're in here today. And you say, Brother Tyler, I've never done that. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. But why would I have to do that today? Can I tell you, God is coming back. He is right around the corner. And you could get in a car accident on the way home, and that bill could come due today. You could have a heart attack. You could get a bad diagnosis. You could go live your life, the rest of your life, and never think about Jesus Christ again. And then die. And that bill's going to come due. And you ain't got to pay it. There's a God in heaven that sent His only begotten Son because He loves you so much that He paid that bill. You ain't got to work for it. You ain't got to be good. But you know what you have to do? You have to accept that free gift of salvation. Maybe you're in here today and you've never done that. In just a moment, we're going to have an altar call. What better day than today? Not because of me, not because of anything, but because of Him, to accept that free gift of salvation. Christian, what about you today? Is God after you about something? Is God after you? Is He pursuing you about an area of service? Is He pursuing you about sin? Maybe you just need to take a moment to remind yourself how important you are to God and that you matter to the Master. Can I tell you, it's easy to be thankful when we look at everything He's done for us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to stand to our feet. Brother Bert's going to come and the instrument's going to play. Hey, Christian. God loves you so much that he's willing to pursue you. God loves you so much that he's not willing to let you sit in your sin, that he's not willing to let you sit in your depression, that he's not willing to let you sit in a place where you have no purpose. God loves you so much that he wants to fulfill you with purpose. He wants to give you that purpose. Maybe you need to come to an altar and say, God, will you show me your purpose? God, will you show me how I can serve you? God, will you give me something to give me that fulfillment in my life? Man, what a time to go to an altar and say that. Maybe you're in here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm going to come down front and we've got other men and ladies that would love to take a Bible and not show you what we think, but show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure heaven's your home. As Brother Bert does the sayings, you do business with God as God does business with you.